Do you love yourself?
I think that's something that I struggle with in that sense is being kinder to myself. Because you always are like, I'm the greatest person I know. Like, if you don't hit a goal or you fall back, don't be like, this is the end of the world now. Like, we're terrible and, like, time to cut the cord. It's like delayed gratification is obviously, like, a big thing. But that is something that I continue to work on is, like, having, like, that self-love.
Welcome to Rise Above. Today, we're joined by Heath, a resilient Navy veteran who overcame the tragic loss of his father at a young age. With my co-host, Kayla Harrison, we'll explore Heath's journey of resilience and finding hope in adversity. Now let's dive in.
We are recording. Rise Above. Welcome, Heath.
Yo, what up,
to Rise Above.
Let's go.
So wait, really quick. We were just talking about the settlement.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about that or no?
I mean, it's not.
$335 million UFC settlement.
Today.
It's a pretty penny.
For a class action lawsuit. Monopoly. So let's do the math. There's 1,200 fighters.
Yes.
$335 million divided by 1,200.
But how are they going to?
$279 million, but minus like a third for lawyer fees.
Right.
Times that by 0.66. $180.
My boy's wicked smart.
$1,000.
But how are they, but then the question becomes, how are they going to divide it up? Is it by like what you were ranked? Is it by how many fights you had during that time period? Is it
right for sure?
You
yeah.
know, like how
there's,
are they?
There's more heavy hitters than
yeah.
You know,
like if you were the champ
that,
and
yeah,
you
exactly.
had 10 fights, do you get a bigger piece of the pie?
Did you lose out on more money because your pay was bigger and it was a bigger, it was more of a monopoly?
Yeah,
I don't know how they're going to divvy it up. I'm sure it's going to take time for them to like let the dust settle, but still big.
It's a big win for the fighters.
Big day, yeah, for sure.
Big win for the fighters.
For sure.
I mean, but then also, too, do you blame the UFC? Like, how is that even fault?
No.
But how is that the fault?
If you're making money, you're making money. Like, what do you mean? It's
Because it's a monopoly, but, like, they didn't choose for it to be a monopoly. It's not like Starbucks where they set up a million different stores to monopolize and push out other coffee places.
They just did it the best.
Right, but then they're getting penalized for doing it the best?
Well,
I think that the problem comes into effect because there is a it's a promotion, right? And so there are all these different promotions, but I think the problem came into the way the contracts are written. Like the inability to break a contract I think. And
that
also there are all these like laws that are in place that protect boxers because boxers are with different promotions, but there's not those laws haven't like umbrellaed over to MMA yet. So I think the big goal is for MMA to go under those, like the Muhammad Ali Act, or there's like specific acts that are in the law that I'm not an expert on it by any means. So
you make a very good point about the contract. You can't leave, right? So it's X amount of fights.
Right.
That's where it makes sense. Okay, that's where the fault then comes in.
Right, if you
and
qualify,
then it's like
in a
sense. Championship clause, and like you can't like, it's kind of hard, I think, to get out.
That thing just went off. The light just went off. I'm not gonna look good on camera.
Of the the
my
filler
God.
Light.
Oh, I don't need.
Oh, whoa. wait, so do you know who Gervonta Davis is, the boxer?
Mm-hmm.
He was on my flight to L.A.
Oh, really?
Cool. And he was sitting in coach.
It's economical, you know?
Dude, the guy makes, like, millions and millions of dollars.
It goes faster than you can.
Ooh, one knows from experience.
No, I'm just saying, like, good for him. But also, that's why you need it written in your contract. Because I have had that experience in the past where, like, I've signed a contract and it was like, okay, like, you have my word. And then, you know, like, COVID hit and...
What a time to be alive.
You know, I was supposed to be in a suite or something, but I have to be in a bubble for 21 days and I'm with my two kids. And all of a sudden, like, oh, no, we can't do a suite. And I'm like, oh, how convenient.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right.
Heath, welcome
yes, thank
to
you.
Rise Above.
Thank you, Kayla. Thanks
where
for
we
me.
Rise above the
Oh, yeah.
First world problems.
Yes, the first world problems of anxiety and stress and
the random cards that were dealt every day.
Oh, yeah. I just met my sweet problem. That's all.
it's a real problem, though.
They are real problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kayla's got to cut down to 135.
It's a real problem. I'm going to be a real problem at 135.
Yeah, you are. What do you weigh? Can I ask?
I'm like 150.
I was going to say, you never ask a woman what she weighs.
No, this is different.
I mean, there's like people online calling me a man and saying I'm on steroids and like all kinds. So like you can go ahead and ask me what I weigh.
I'm sure those people sit at home
at this point,
Cheetos.
I don't care.
It's like that classic meme where like they get the bowl on their stomach. They're like, I can't believe they didn't make that play.
Yeah.
How did you not make that play?
The armchair quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
You were saying this to me the other day when you were at UFC 299. You were saying it to me and Josh, actually. Josh is here, by the way. We have Josh.
Josh is back. Back again. Yeah.
Josh got demoted from cameraman to cornerman.
Yeah. I wasn't a part of that decision-making process.
I was, and I do apologize, Josh. I love you. I need my spot. This is my spot.
This is our vibe.
This is the vibe.
This is our vibe. This is my good
moral
side.
Moral support, yeah. Josh and I can like talk to each other again, non-verbal, and like it's great. But again, that comes.
Yeah,
from,
you guys were on a submarine together, right?
We were.
We're gonna get into it.
We used to get into it on the boat, just all the games. Oh, dude, it was the best.
I can't wait to hear it.
I want to hear some stories.
I gotta act like I've never heard the story.
Oh, of course,
before.
I know. I'm always the fresh listener, the fresh ears. You always know the ending to every story.
Well, because they're all my degenerate friends that come on this podcast.
That rose above.
Those are the best friends, though. They really are.
Yeah, they are.
No one likes a perfect person.
No.
Go sit in a different corner. Well, that's true, too. But the people act that they're, perfect.
Yeah. I do have, like, a very big... I have a chip on my shoulder with people who are... portray perfection. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it really bothers me.
I know. I guess I try not to read too much into it just because I know I'm not perfect. So in the sense of
I also just remember that like if someone's trying so hard to pretend they're perfect, then they obviously are suffering still.
100%.
Anyways.
I don't disagree.
I digress.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you truly believe in your heart perfection is not something that is achievable?
Oh, so absolutely. It's not attainable.
No, I don't think so either.
I've tried my whole life.
Okay.
So if I can't do it, nobody can do it.
But in your head, if you're living a well-balanced... And I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just trying to challenge you a little bit.
All right. Challenge me, sucka.
But like... all right.
Just not to arm wrestling.
In your head, I would crush you in arm wrestling.
Oh, here we go. No.
I really would. You think you would beat me in arm wrestling?
No, I'm actually not. I'm not a good arm wrestler.
Smoking pipes.
This is gonna be a
as
fun
you
one.
Wear a t-shirt and she wears no sleeves. Yeah.
So when she's done with the fight, we're doing one round together.
Yeah.
No headgear. I'm not wearing headgear.
I just picture
I feel like you should.
My hair.
When I take you down, you're gonna want that to protect you from the.
Those elbows.
I just think of the scene from Entourage when he was like, how much time? They're like, 58 seconds.
Run!
Tap out, turtle. How much time do I got? So, yeah, that's how that's going to go.
That would be so great. I'm going to bring the crew, too. Like, you think you're going to suffer in silence?
I will drive down from Jacksonville.
No, I am definitely inviting all your homies. Yeah.
What would be
and then we're
strategy?
All road tripping up to Josh's spot in the mountains. Yeah.
Yo, we got the nod. We got the nod. No, I didn't ignore you.
Oh, no.
No, we got the nod.
You got the nod.
I haven't.
I called my dad and I told him about what we talked about.
Yeah.
And that was the first time he's ever been so genuine. He was so happy to do that.
Really?
It reminds him of when my grandparents and like uncles were still alive.
Oh.
I would love nothing more than for them to come up with
it. Really? So, dude, it's on.
He's down. He's
okay. Can we pinky promise?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We're gonna do it. But Kayla, when are you available? Like how beaten up are you gonna be after the Holly Holm fight? How much time do you need to recoup?
No. I'm not gonna need any. The only thing I'm gonna need time for is the media tour that I'm about to be on when I fucking say I'm coming for that belt. Raquel, you better run. You better hide.
Let's
hide
go.
Your kids, hide your wives, and hide your husbands too, because they've taken everyone out.
I almost got bronchitis.
Wait, did you train with Raquel Pennington?
No.
Well, who did you train with? That was the or challenged? No. But wasn't there a challenger recently for that belt that fought for the belt?
Oh yeah, Myra Shitara.
Oh,
she yeah. Okay. But that, I feel like she, so she busted her eardrum in the first round. And then her, like, equilibrium was all off. And mm-hmm. that, because the game plan was not what she did. And I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But, she, yeah. So, she'll be back. She's tough. She's a tough, tough young.
Friend of yours?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Dude,
okay.
She's awesome. I love her.
So, I won't talk smack.
No, do not talk. No, not no. about my girl.
Okay. Heath.
Kevin. Yeah, let's, okay, yeah, let's no. settle in. Everybody, let's take a deep
I'm
breath.
Sorry.
I'm just happy to be here. This is great.
I just have to catch up with the...
Oh, of course.
With the princess.
That's what it's all about.
Queen.
It's queen. It's all about Kayla here.
It is not all about...
It's, we're just small timers.
No, it's not all about at all. Kayla. This is my highlight. This is the highlight of my week, to come and to hear people's stories and to meet new people and to just, like, soak up whatever life lessons that you've learned. Like, this is the highlight of my week, so...
Yeah.
No pressure.
No, none. And again, I'm just excited to be here.
No, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Obviously, Kevin knows more than I do. So you grew up where?
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
So. Okay.
That accent.
The Lone Star State. Okay. So.
Are you a Cowboy fan?
Absolutely. I love getting let down every year.
Oh, man.
So it's just a great, like, life skill to have, to, you know, have, like, right. you know, every year they're like, this is the year. Yep. And then it just ends poorly. You're just like, yep, right on track. So.
I grew up a Bengals fan, so I feel you.
Oh, man, that's like, terrible. But there's no, but again, there's no, like, you know, the Bengals are usually terrible. No offense.
No.
So there's no, like, oh, we got
or a
this.
Browns fan. My family was divided. Bengals and Browns.
Yeah, but Ohio, just in general, like, huh. There's nothing wrong with Ohio.
The heartland.
Except the snow and the rain.
Of America?
Yeah. Okay.
These are God's people, okay?
She conveniently claims Boston, too.
Whoa.
I'm a Boston fan.
I am a Boston sports fan because it's.
Well, they
like
do have a great. Yeah,
for sure.
They do great.
It
I just
is.
Love. I love how Boston just throws tea into the harbor. That's my favorite
Boston.
Thing.
Yeah, no. We don't fuck around.
I love it.
Come but for us.
Letting them know.
What
right
was
away.
It? Do you have siblings?
I do. I have three younger sisters.
You.
I love that.
I don't.
No.
Oh, really?
You don't love that, or
that's
you know?
Horrible.
Oh, no. I think that's new.
No, that's amazing.
That's so. What was that like?
Oh, it was good. So, I mean, they're like 7 years younger than I am. So,
they were all mistakes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So my parents, they split up when I was three. So my mom got remarried to my stepdad, and they had the three daughters. So I guess.
So you're the sole child of your parents.
I am.
Okay.
So it was good though to like grow up and learn to again to be able to like share and then you know kind of do those things. So and now that we're all a little bit older, we're able to again talk more about you know like life and things like that. Because again, when I was in high school and they're in you know fourth grade, there's not a whole lot of connection there.
Yeah.
And then obviously when I left for the Navy and then coming back and just being like you know how school and once they kind of got you know middle school, high school, then I could be like. Connecting more with them and giving them some advice and just seeing how like their path and the things that they did and how it was going. So
yeah, that's awesome. So your parents divorced when you were three, you said?
Yes.
What was that like? Did they have a good co-parenting relationship?
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, gosh, it's
yeah, let's get into it.
Right.
Let's,
yeah.
Come on, if you don't mind.
No, absolutely. It wasn't terrible, but I mean, there was definitely a lot of times where, like, I was being the, I guess, you know, like mediator in the sense. But I learned at a younger age too, though, because my dad like had no filter. That apple doesn't fall far from that tree. So there would be a lot of times that he would say things. My mom would be like, "What'd your dad say?" And I'd have to like paraphrase. So I learned how to do that at a young age. And again, just doing that and
putting kind of an adult role.
Very much so. And again, as we go through, but like, there's a lot of times where like I was the adult of like my dad. And there'd be times where like, my dad, you can't say this in public. Like, please stop. And so it was just, you know, going through that. So, but overall, I mean, my parents did, you know, they're blue collar, hardworking. So they gave us, you know, obviously a roof over our head. We never missed a meal. My parents, just very honest, hardworking people. So they instilled those values. And so that was kind of like growing up. There was never like any like drama really a whole lot. But it's just a lot of just like bickering and just annoyedness and things like that for the most part.
Yeah.
So I know it's way worse for some people. But again, it was not like picture perfect or like my parents loved being at the same events together. Like, that wasn't
the case. Did they go to the same events? Like, did they?
They would go. Yeah. But again, they never really sat next to each other. Never really spoke a whole lot.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like that.
But they showed up.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I love that. All right.
Yeah, that's huge.
That showing up is huge.
No, it really is. And I don't give my mom and, like, stepdad a lot of credit because, again, like, for me, my dad was, like, my best friend growing up. So I would always, like, look for him first. And now as, you know, older and adult, I always kind of feel bad. I'm like, you know, they were there, but I don't give them the credit that they truly deserved. So, but they both, you know, or they all showed up for the most part, you know, for work and stuff like that would come up. But being there, you know, they weren't absent or anything like that. And they were always in tune and knowing what was going on. So,
that's
again,
awesome.
I got really lucky in that aspect.
What did your father do for work?
So when I was a kid.
Is that what you were going to ask?
No.
My dad worked for Frito-Lay and then he became an entrepreneur. And then he opened up a tanning business.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, he did that. So that was pretty cool because, again, it was, you know, back in, like, you know, 2003, 2004, and it got, like, really popular and started. So he did that, and it was going really good until about 2008 when the recession hit. And then that kind of, like, downfall. And then ultimately his business would go under, and that would obviously lead to, like, the things that he did and obviously that we're going to be getting into. But that's what he did.
Yeah. Wow.
What was the relationship like with your stepdad?
Oh, it's great.
I was wondering. I'm curious. How
I got really lucky. My stepdad is a phenomenal.
Yeah, that's good.
Person. He's so patient. He is a man I admire very much. So
awesome.
I'm obviously like a little different and more like outspoken, loud, and things like that. So he's a very kind of more quiet, reserved. But again, like that. He's always on time. He's, you know, he's there and he's just very supportive. And again, I lucked out because
two strong role model, male role models in your life.
I would say that. But again, they were opposites.
Different.
So I was able to get like kind of like the best of both. And when there'd be times where, like my mom and my dad would be like feuding or stuff, he would just be like, all right, so like kind of talk to me, like what's going on. And he would kind of step in and just, you know, help or just, you know, things like that.
That's really mature.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, that's huge.
So mature. And I mean, again, I count my lucky stars all the time because I really did luck out to have such an incredible father figure. And then obviously, like, after the stuff that happened to my dad and him being there and always there for me basically since that day, again, I just have the utmost respect. And I try to say thank you to him in different ways, but I don't think I ever truly can thank him enough. Because again, you know, he worked all the time and he just made sure he provided for, you know, my sisters and I, and my parents do really well for themselves now, which again is like just great to see that, like, you know, hard work and, you know, they're not big partiers. They don't, you know, do any like risque things. They're just, again, very just clear cut, hardworking, you know, not a lot of thrills where it's like, you know, they do crazy things, but they have done really well for themselves over
That's
the
awesome.
Years. Yeah.
I love your attitude already. Like, it's
I appreciate
so
that.
Positive.
He's very grateful.
Yeah. I love it. It's such a, our world could do with more gratitude, I think. Like, in to hear you just come in here right off the rip and be like, oh, man, like, this happened, but my family, like, my dad, my stepdad, my mom, like, I have so much to be grateful for. I count my lucky stars, like, just over and over and over again. You've already said it so many times. I just love it. I love to hear it. That's great.
I appreciate it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I truly, like, feel that way, too, because, again, you know, we're talking about earlier in the sense of, like, right, the fighter, right, and coach. But it's like, you can always sit there and say, like, well, I don't have this, I don't have that, or, you know, and you're chasing the, you know, perfection, and it's something you never obtain. But, again, being not being, like, complacent and be like, I like where I'm at, you know, staying hungry, but, again, appreciating, like, where you are and the hard work that you do. And, again, you know that from just, like, the athletics and everything and getting that recognition and, like, getting that gold medal and things like that. And so just, you know, taking that moment in time and, like, appreciating it, I think does really go, like, a long way. And I think it helps you just, like, understand life a little bit better.
Oh, that's great.
You know what I mean? So
no, I do. It's funny. Man, God always shows up in these rooms because I've been, like, in my feelings a little bit lately. Not about just kind of, like, things that I feel like I lack in my life. Like,
nothing.
Like a partner, you know, like, being a fighter is a very lonely journey.
I can only imagine.
You know, and being a single mom is a very lonely journey. Like, at the end of the day, it's all on me. Like, my career, my kids, everyone who is in my life, it kind of looks to me. And so sometimes I get down and I'm like, God, like, I hate that I'll be happy when, you know, like, I've tried to stop doing that. Like, I'll be happy when. But it's really hard, and especially when you're deep in camp and you're at a calorie deficit and you're fucking sparring. Like, you're just, I've been going through these, like, emotional roller coasters of, like, God, I wish I just had somebody to, like, hold my hand or, like, you know, and so.
Or do the dishes and help me out.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. Like, that is, Like, you're right. Like, it could be so much worse. And I'm so grateful for, I used to pray for what I have now, you know, like I used to pray for these children and this opportunity
right.
and this like moment in my life. And so
then you give thanks, be yeah. like, thank you for hearing my prayers mm-hmm. and recognize that. And it's still not just like, hey God, I need this. I need that. Be
yeah.
like, but hey, like,
yeah.
You know, because I'm a big prayer too, and I try to make daily devotions and things like that.
Amen. Yeah. Anytime anyone ever says it, wait, hold on.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. You got the, like that Southern Baptist clapping your hands. And I love it.
A lot of people are scared to talk about God, higher power, just something greater than themselves, and we welcome that here.
Yeah, no, we love it.
We love it. And it's important because we're not in control.
Well, that has just helped me again with like everything that I went through. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that was one thing that my father lacked was a connection like with Jesus and like, mm-hmm. you know, having that because he didn't. He was very just like agnostic and just kind of was like, And so I got that from like my mom and my stepdad because they're Catholic. So I was mm-hmm. raised Catholic. So again, going to like mass and stuff and doing, you know, things during Lent like we are now. And mm-hmm. my dad would just be like, that's just dumb. And mm-hmm. I'd just be like, okay. So again, you know, sometimes that negativity can come from like your favorite people. So mm-hmm. learning to just be like, hey, listen, I understand, you know, X, Y, and Z that you don't feel a certain way or what have you. But again, just trying to do the things versus say them again so people can be like, right. So as you said too, when people are like, oh, I'm so perfect, but you know, deep down they're not. Just trying to walk the walk, which again is impossible to do, but you let that show by just, you know, screaming to the mountaintops. And I always say like consistency is key. So if you're mm-hmm. doing stuff right, and again, with training and with work and relationships, mm-hmm. if you consistently show up and do the things, like eventually, you know, if you're swinging that axe, swinging mm-hmm. that hammer, that wall will come down and then you'll move on to the next one. So
yes.
Where did you... How do you have such an open mind? So much so with your father saying, no, that's stupid, but then you let in a higher power and you started believing in.
That's a great question. I don't really, I guess, know. I just think in the sense I was just given this. Mm-hmm. That might just sound, but I feel like that's my mindset. And just, the glass is always half full, you know, the optimism. So even when, you know, it's just a rainy kind of day, right, and you're just like, everything's going wrong. There's mm-hmm. nothing right. And just taking that moment and just being like, you know, Lord, you know, please give me guidance. Or again, just being like, it could be worse. Or, you know, just like those little things.
Yeah.
And then just trying like, or if you're in a, you know, crappy situation, you know, hey, we're getting extended out on the boat. And you're just like, well, we get to all be, you know, miserable together. Like just being that. People are like, yeah, you're right. So I think it's just, you know, into those trials and tribulations and just those events, that's where it's come from. But again, I couldn't tell you like I woke up one day and just like had this like, you know, euphoria of just like hope and just, you know, try because again, like
it's the little tiny steps every day,
but it's so nice to try to bleed into people too. But then it's sometimes too, I feel like I'm pouring from an empty cup. You're like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this, but we're just gonna, we're gonna figure it out. And then just right, like liking the, or you know, loving the process.
Mm-hmm.
I think again, as you were talking, you know, we're always chasing that mountaintop and but understanding like, oh, I'm in a valley right now, and then you're like, okay. But let's go ahead and like make this a fun one, or you know, enjoy it. So when you look back, or you know, a year from now, you'd be like, hey, remember when we were there?
Yep.
And we're not there anymore. We have come X, Y, and Z.
And dude, it's so, the older I get, the more I finally like, because I feel like as a fighter, training camps and fights and having to fight, not having to fight, like the peaks and valleys are even closer together sometimes in my specific line of work. And when I was younger, I just couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to go to the Olympics. I couldn't wait to be Olympic champion. I could, like, and it wasn't
patience
until I got...
Patience is the virtue.
Oh, my God. I seriously lack it. I pray for that. But...
Me too.
But it wasn't until I got older, and, like, now I'm finally able to kind of step out, be aware of that feeling and step outside of it and say, oh, shit, the journey is the reward. Like... Who I am now compared to who I was then and who I am becoming is all happening now. Like, the journey is the reward. The mountaintop, yes, like, of course, you want to attain things and get there. But, like, when the gold medal went around my neck, it wasn't like, oh, my God, my life was perfect. It was just like, oh, yeah, every single thing that happened along the way happened exactly how it was supposed to happen. Like, just... I don't, does that make sense? The journey is the reward.
No,
like,
100%.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But when did you... All right, so let me ask you this, Kayla. When did you start to realize that it's about the journey and not just the destination, and to appreciate that journey?
Whoa.
I love that quote.
right?
I love it. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
I mean, I don't like. I think it's like Heath said. You know, it's
just
not
knowledge over time.
It's not like a snap of a finger, right? You don't just wake up and you're like, oh my god, like I'm on the journey. Like, you know, it's you just kind of keep doing the small little things, like the small daily habits, and eventually you become aware enough,
yeah,
to appreciate like, oh, I'm in a valley. And like, you know what? This valley isn't as bad as that valley was. And mm-hmm. also like God provided, you know, he provides
he
everything
does.
I need. And like it
always, it's crazy.
It's this way for a reason. Like it's mm-hmm. life is happening, you know, for me, not to me. Like this mm-hmm. is all a part of the process.
Yep.
And that is where, I don't know if you feel like this, but that's where faith becomes really, really big.
Absolutely.
Like that's where you have to, sometimes you just have to fucking like surrender and trust and be like, all right, well.
That's one of my favorite stories too. So like when I was on the boat, it was like my third or fourth day. We're underway. And
thank you for your service, by the way. Oh, so
well, tell the audience. So you were on a nuclear submarine.
I was.
You were in the Navy.
I was.
How many years?
I did 6.5.
6.5 years.
Yes.
Okay. So
paid for college.
That's awesome.
So you were on, you said the boat,
submarine. The boat, yeah, the submarine. So okay. It was my very first underway. And I was, when you're new, you FSA, which you're basically like, you know, cleaning up the mess decks and preparing the food for the crew. You're kind of like earning your stripes and things
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was sleeping in the torpedo room. And I was taking showers down in the lower level head. And I didn't realize at the time that the hot and cold water knobs were like switched.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, I was like, oh, I guess we just take cold showers underway. This is awesome. Cool. So I got like sick like third or fourth day. And
oh,
so
no.
like I was like, man, we're starting strong. And so, again, you know, I'm praying, you know, my God, like, what did I get myself into? Like, can I handle this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is this for me? Like, please give me strength and things mm-hmm. like that. So I woke up, like, you know, the next morning, you know, I went to go do my 12-hour FSA shift. And I come down to the torpedo room, and there's always, like, a torpedo man watch down there. And so I come down, and there's, like, this coin on my rack. And it's, like, I looked at the torpedo man watch. I was like, hey, like, who put this on my rack? And he's like, no one's been down here. And I was like, you sure? Like, it just wasn't here when I left. And he's like, I'm telling you, I've been down here all day. No one's come down here. But it was basically a coin. And on it said, like, the armor of God. And it was just, like, had, like, this whole, like, prayer
ooh.
On the back. And so I was like, this is wild.
Yeah.
And ever since that day, I kept that on my person every
my God, I love that.
Every day in the Navy. And then when I got out of the Navy, I held on to it. And then one of my best friends from college became a cop. And then when she, at her graduation, I gave that coin to her. And then
oh,
now
wow.
she has that coin on her every time she goes out and does her thing. So,
wow.
I love that.
So,
that's
again,
awesome.
Like, you talk about, like, the faith and stuff. But, again, like, it's hard to describe that. But, again, like, the coin didn't just, and again, you know, we're, you know, underway. We're underwater. You know, all the things. It's
mm-hmm.
like, but, again, just, like, the power of prayer. Like, mm-hmm. it is a real thing. And
mm-hmm.
so that's definitely, again, like, yeah, it is, like, one of my favorite stories. But it's also just, like.
I also just want to highlight there, like, dude, gratitude is a verb. Like, you took that and, like, what that meant to you and how that provided for you peace and probably, like, whatever, security. And you showed gratitude by, like, okay, now it's my turn to, like, pass this on to someone else. Like, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
the only
that.
Way you can keep it is passing it.
I think so, too.
Else.
But, again, like, I think that's why we're here, right? Like, is to pass, like, you know, knowledge, love. You know, jokes, like all the things
yeah.
to like help make this, you know, spinning rock just a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of people like that, that, you know, we're able to continue to move forward, like, you know, as a society.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause again, unfortunately, there is a lot of bad, you know, people out there and evil things and that, you know, we're
yep.
combating on the regular. So to, you know, be on in the sense like the good
yeah.
side, but again, like embody that and just try to be your best version.
Mm-hmm.
And again, try to like walk that, which again is like sometimes an impossible task. 'Cause there are times
for
where,
sure.
I'm like, dude, I'm the worst person sometimes. I feel like
we all
I'm mm-hmm. behaving right now. I haven't said one swear word. Usually it just like it's
I
like vomit at the mouth.
I know.
He'll call me. I'll have him on speaker with Lumi in the car and he's dropping F-bombs and
oh,
Lumi's
no.
just sitting there.
Oh, my daughter would be like, "Dollar."
Yeah.
Dollar. Dollar.
I'm the friend that people won't answer in public because
it's raw.
It's so raw.
Listen.
But like that's just how I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I go back and forth on the whole cursing thing cuz I'm like, I know I shouldn't do it, but also sometimes it's just, you know,
but
the
again,
best
like,
way to express myself.
I agree with that. No, obviously, you know, time and place. And again, I'm like awful because we'll be in public and they'll be like, dude, there are kids over there. And you're just like, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
because like the issue that I have that I'm trying to get better is like if I'm at a table with friends and things like that, like I don't acknowledge in the sense like the other people around me, which the people are like, oh, how do you not like? I'm so involved in what's going on here that, you know, whatever story, things I'm doing, saying, yeah. I'm not thinking about the people over there that may hear it. I'm just focused on this.
Right.
You're passionate.
You're in the moment.
So
I love that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But let me back it up a little bit. So before you, what led you to being on the submarine and being enlisted for 6.5 years? Like how?
So both my parents were in the Navy. That's how they met.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Navy baby.
Yeah. Well, I think they got out, but yeah, right.
Yeah, it sounded like a cool story.
No, yeah. Well, I thought about when I got my first tattoo and I was like, made in the USA. I was like, I sure hope so.
Wait. Was he a part of the crew?
Oh, I'm a part of the crew.
Oh, no. Oh, what man. Was it like a...
Rewind.
The steamer tat.
The steamer, yeah. Oh, that's
so great. Our guest, episode 2, Josh, he shared a story about a tattoo that you guys all got in the Navy.
Drunk.
Where was it? Was it in Guam?
I got mine in Guam because I'm younger than Josh and the guys. So, like, I didn't turn 21 until, you know, a little bit after. So mm-hmm. then they were, like, the first wave. But it was kind of funny because, like, once I started earning my stripes in that regard, which, again, is not always the best thing, but, you know, mm-hmm. against the Navy. So, and, you know, you try to blow off steam and hence the steamer tat. But I remember we were in the Horse and Cow in Guam and we were having just, you know, one of those nights and we were playing beer pong and it was, I couldn't remember who my partner was, but I was playing Josh and then our other buddy who also has the tattoo. And we basically get down to the end and I get down to, you know, last cup. And I, you know, shoot comes back. I get it. So, you know, I have to do behind the back. So I do behind the back and I sink the cup and beating Josh. And Josh and I have a huge rival. And so I was like talking all this trash. And then my boy was like basically like a knighted. He was like, you are now one of us. And the next day I went and got the tattoo. So, yeah.
I love that. So you're like, I made it.
It's like, we're one of the boys, dude.
So you guys are all in this Navy, this nuclear submarine together. What's the vibe on this sub? We'll go back. I want to go back and unpack, like, you know, your parents
of course,
but just really quick, while we're on it, what's the, like, all the bros, like, 150
no, honestly,
of you?
Man, it's...
what's it like?
Honestly, for me, like, when I picked my job, I was like, oh, I've never been on a submarine. You know, like, you only live once, let's go. and so, but for me, like, it's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime...
YOLO.
It's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but... The camaraderie that you develop down there, and like again with some of the guys, I mean, I still talk to a lot of them to this day, because they just had such a huge impact on my life. Mm-hmm. And you know, though we've gone different places and we do different things, you know, the love and you know the
it really is a brotherhood. Huh?
It really is. Yeah. And again, like in life, when you're going through trials and tribulations, like being there for your bro, and we can also talk about like that from after you know unpacking like you know the father thing, and then just like the importance to me of like. Being a good friend, but then having like that support group, because like there are times where like I'm down on my luck or like I'm like I don't know how I'm gonna do it, and then I've had friends like come through me hugely and be like here's a place to stay, you know, we're gonna help guide you and things like that. So in the sense, like, it takes a village. So
of course
I always joke with people, I was like, yeah, I don't have a lot of money in my bank account, I was like, but what I do have is a plethora of amazing like friends, and I was like, and for that I am truly wealthy.
I love that.
We all
need a tribe.
We really
100%,
do.
100%. Mm-hmm. And do you think that, you know, our past guest said that one of the tools on a daily basis that helps him is just that camaraderie in the Navy and having that support group, that support system to bounce things off of. If you did not have that, do you think you would be as grateful as you are today? I mean, listen, a lot of the things you're saying, and I see you on a daily basis. You live what you're saying.
I try to. I always say misery loves company. So obviously, right when you're down there, you're just like, well, boys, we're stuck in this together.
Do you think you would be where you are today without them?
No, absolutely not. There's no way.
So you think everyone should have a brotherhood like that?
1,000%. And a good buddy of mine.
Sisterhood.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, just like, we all need our people.
I remember it was a few years ago, I was doing the Murph workout again, a great workout for a great, you know, obviously man who gave up his life for our country.
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing it and we finished it and we were talking about just, you know, something and friendship. And I was like, yeah, you know, blood is, you know, thicker than water. And my buddy was like, you know, that's not the full quote, right? And I was like, no. And he's like, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Basically meaning the blood of the brother that you choose is thicker than the blood that you may be born into. And for me, like, that's how, like, for my friends and stuff and, like, how I live, And Josh and I have this debate all the time, but like I have a very hard time in the sense of like letting go of like friends, or you know, when they say, mm-hmm. you know,
me too,
right? You have friends for a reason, a season, mm-hmm. and for a lifetime. And like, I totally get that, you know, you have a job or you play kickball with somebody, you're like, oh, I worked with them, they're an acquaintance, and mm-hmm. you know, X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But for like friends that I've had for like 10, 15, 20 years now, I'm like, we're in this together. Like, yeah. there may be ups and downs, and I've had to learn going through that, you know, just because you've been my friend for so long, that doesn't give me the right to, you know, say whatever I want, because like, oh, I'm your best friend for 20 years. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, give you unsolicited, you know, verbiage that you didn't ask for, or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's been like a learning curve for me. But again, like when your friends, you know, need you, it's like, yeah. you show up. So that's just kind of how I'm wired. So again, it's been sometimes a tough pill for me to swallow, to be like, what do you mean this is over? Like, it doesn't end.
But what about, so you never let go?
Yeah, I'm like Rose from Titanic. I never let go of Jack.
Yeah, like you're a very she fucking let go.
She's a terrible human being. Almost as bad as Jenny from Forrest Gump. She's the worst.
Oh my God, I hate Jenny.
We all do.
Okay, good.
Jenny, oh man.
I feel bad for her, but also I'm like, dude.
She held him hostage.
How did you divorce like that? Yeah.
But yeah,
a gold digger. Josh yells at a gold digger.
But
obviously a very evolved, like you're an extremely emotionally intelligent, like you're operating at a high frequency, and like from my experience, some of the people that I have brought along the way don't always get there, mm-hmm. especially at the same time as us. So. Right. How do you balance like being there for people, like being a ride or die, but also like taking care of yourself?
Man, that's a great. I feel like I.
Or
I,
do you? Or do yeah, you not right, do it?
I feel like I try to do that, and I'm still like learning that, because there are times where I, you know, check up and, you know, call, and you know, you're doing all these things, and I don't.
Like
give
you're talking about pouring from an empty cup, right? And I'm just thinking, like, if you're constantly, you know,
no, that's definitely something that I'm still like, you know, trying to be like, okay, give myself more time, but. I just always come back to, again, we'll get into it, but like, right, you only have a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. So like knowing that, and then realizing like it does end, and that, you know, your favorite person, your favorite people will no longer be here, or you won't be here. Mm-hmm. So it's like you want to, carpe diem, but you want to, you know, maximize that as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because like there will come a time. And so, you know, for those people that, you know, are on their deathbeds, like, what'd you do with your life? Like, I worked my entire life and I didn't do X, Y, and Z.
I lived the same.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I did the same thing and ate the same thing. Like, yeah. And again, I'm not taking away from like structure and consistency, but it's like, you know, sometimes you want to, you know, be rebellious in that aspect, or, you know, maybe spend the money you don't have, or X, Y, and Z. Because, like, again, you don't know. But again, that impact or that opportunity, time that you had with, you know, friends or family, whatever it is, like, I always joke, I was like, I wish I could be at my funeral, because it would just be a just roast session.
Be lit
100%.
I was just gonna say that, you
know, it's better than just being like, you know, Heath was just kind of a quiet guy, nothing like to him, and you know, like you're not really gonna be missed. And like, I get it, like, you know, you can't leave your name forever, but it's nice to know, in the sense, like, you know, when I do depart and go to the other side, you know, people are going to be like, you know, hopefully, right, they'd be like, he had a great impact, and like, he's going to be missed in that aspect. And I feel like you did your job then.
So I have a follow-up to that. So, like, you're a believer. And one of the big parts of following Jesus, and this is why I'm asking, because it's a question and it's something that I struggle with and ask myself every day. Like, do you feel like you haven't, if you're not living the way you're supposed to live, if you're not giving sacrificially, like if you're not giving of your time or your energy or what your money, like whatever it is that you have to give to the people around you, especially the ones you love the most, do you feel like you give, like, is that important to you?
Absolutely. I think we're all called to, again, serve. So for me, like, I pray a lot. And for me, again, you know, going down this career path that I'm trying to obtain, you know, being there for others and serving others, I think is so, you know, crucial. Because again, you said, right, it's a tribe. And even if it's somebody you don't know, but just, you know, trying to be that positive light and that positive force, I think it's just so important. And so I just try to, you know, ask for guidance and strength on that to, again, serve how he wants me to serve and, you know, continue down that path as I go. And again, just try to do, you know, the right thing. And again, I miss the mark quite often. And, you know, there's times where, like, you could have stepped up and I didn't, or things like that. But again, just like asking for like that guidance and strength is definitely a daily thing that I do.
I love that.
So I have heard many people, so I go to meetings, I'm in sobriety, and I have heard, you just said, people say God is my employer, and I've heard that many times.
I've never heard that.
You said, what did you just say? You said God is my something. What is it?
Guidance.
Guidance, yes. Okay, so for me, I believe in God, and I'm asking this for some listeners who kind of cringe when they hear that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can you unpack that a little more? Like, God is your guidance, right? How do you know what's right, what's wrong, what God wants for you? How do you get to a place?
It's such a complex question, but also,
It is. It's a loaded, complex question.
But when you ask, like, what's right—
For you.
No, of course.
For you.
When you ask, like, what feels right, like, I think, again, like, that's your soul, right? Like, you know when you do something that you're not supposed to, like, your conscience and things like that. So, you know, how in touch you are with your conscience and your soul, you know, some people don't have one. So, you know, they do horrific things and what, you know, and you're just like, how can you do something like that? But I think it's because they aren't, you know, connected or try to connect and do those things.
Self-will. They're living off of self-will.
Well, I think that, or again, I can't speak for them because, you know, again, for some people, they either went through a traumatic, you know, situation and they, for me, like, I turn more to my faith and ask for strength and instead of, like, be like, God, how could you do this to my dad? And how could you let this happen to me? And, like, having anger, I'm more like, I hope my dad is, you know, in a better place. And please give me strength to move forward as I navigate this. And then, you know, help others in that sense, too. Or, you know, again, right, sharing my story.
Yeah.
So if someone's like, I have a brother or a sister or their parent, you know, that's on that edge or seeing, like, the signs. So you can be like, hey, you need to probably get them some help. Or because that was something for me that, like, I didn't say a lot to people, right, at all. I just would always try to coach my dad up and be, like, that reassuring voice, like, all the time. And unfortunately, it just wasn't enough. So
So can you tell me what happened?
Yeah, so I lost my dad to suicide in 2011. Sorry. Well, I appreciate you.
My father also committed suicide.
Yeah, well, yeah, so we're cut from the same cloth, I guess, unfortunately.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Same for you. Yeah, it's tough. It's never fun. I mean, obviously that was, you know, right. It's just like a huge, I guess, like mark on, like, again, who you are as a person, I feel like, because again, you can go so many routes. And again, I got lucky because I basically, you know, shipped out for boot camp like 6 months later. So I was able to get, like, you know, acclimated or just, you know, thrown into that. So it took my mind away kind of, because I didn't like really went to therapy right after. I didn't go to therapy until like many years later when I was like in college and I was more like alone, because again, as Josh was talking on his, as we try to relate to, you know, normal people, it's definitely a hard thing to do. So I was more like on my own and I was like, oh, this is terrible.
How and old were you?
I was 18. I was 3 days from graduating high school. It was cool.
And you said your dad was your best friend.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it was pretty tough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Did a lot of this start from, you talked about the depression in 2008 and
some problems
with his business.
It was that, and then, as you put in his note, it was that, you know, failing the business. It was me leaving for the Navy, and then the girlfriend that he had at the time. She just wasn't the best one, and she just wasn't there when, like, the going got tough. So it was just like an accumulation of all that my dad was like, there's, you know, nothing really else to live for. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, fuck. I mean, it's just such a hard, you know, like, I have always felt like, what can someone say? You know, what can someone say to make that situation better? And I spent a lot of time.
I still don't know, I guess, in that sense. You just kind of, like, I guess, brush it off. But then also, like, I think for me, it's not the best thing. But, like, you develop a very, like, just, you know, very dark sense of humor. And, again, like, laughing at pain is just a way to, I guess, cope with the pain. Until you, you know, navigate and figure out how to do those things. But that's kind of just what happened to me, and that's how I've gone through it. But then, again, it was perfect for submarine service because you got to have stupid dark humor down there and be just, like, incredibly thick skin. So it kind of, you know, I guess got me ready for that. So
you were about to turn 18.
Oh, I was already 18. I was about to graduate high school.
You were 3 days from graduating high school and 6 months from being
shipped out.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you feel at any point that you potentially played a part in that? Or did you feel guilty or take any kind of responsibility for any of that? Or were you able to understand the situation?
You were a baby.
So at the time, I definitely felt like, right, I should have done this. I should have did that. Mm-hmm. I guess now that I'm a little bit older, I definitely feel like I did a lot good things. Again, I should have, you know, got, like, you know, my family kind of involved and let them know.
You were a kid. You did the best you could.
I know. So that's what I kind of tell myself. And people are like, you know, there's times where, like, I was the one not taking care of my dad, but just being like, hey, dad, like, probably shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Do that or, you know, things like that. So, like, the voice of reason. And, again, usually it's the other way around with the fathers, like, you know, doing that. So,
you had a heavy load on your shoulders from a young age, it sounds like, and it just got compounded and compounded as you got older.
For sure. So again, just like going through that, and again, I still navigate that because it definitely has like an effect on like how I feel about relationships and like connecting, not only like friends, but like, you know, a partner, you know, and finding like, you know, the future Mrs. Jordan. But again, it's tough because I saw like what happened where it's like, you know, when you're at your lowest and you need this person to be there and then they cut and run. It's like, right, the broken heart and just the sadness and the depression, it like, you know, eats men alive, unfortunately. And it happens, you know, every day, you know, unfortunately, men are out there just taking their lives. So
it's not easy.
But again, that's why I fall back on like the importance of like having your tribe, having your bros. So then they call you like, you know, how are you doing? Like, are you still good? Are you still kicking it?
To not be okay.
Well, that, but it's just, you know, being tuned in and be like, you know, do I need to be there for you? Like, you know, talk to me, like, what's up? So, but then on the recipient, you know, the other side of that, like, you know, if there is something wrong, like, you got to say something, you know, to your friend, be like, hey, man, I am not doing well. And I need you, or I need this and I need that. So people can help you. So it's a tale of both, right? Asking the question, but then also, you know, and again, for me, like, I went to therapy later when I was like, I don't need therapy. Like, I'm great. You know, I'm Heath Jordan.
Baby.
And then finally my, you know, friends were just like, I think you should go to therapy. And so doing
those are good friends right there.
Those are good friends. And again, right, I've been very fortunate to have just great people who genuinely care about my well-being and them being right. You know, that's a, you know, difficult one to deal with and, you know, have lived that. So again, talking to somebody who is unbiased and who can just be like, all right, so like, let's unpack this. Let me give you, you know, some things that you can maybe read or watch and things like that. So
there's something I found with that core group of friends that you keep around and you're consistently checking in with. And we talked about consistency before.
Monday motivational, baby. Let's go.
Right. But like, you know, when you're consistent with your friends, they also hold you accountable.
They really
do.
Like,
when you don't have the courage to, and I shouldn't even say have the courage, when you just don't want to talk about something and you don't want to get it past your teeth, and then you have that tribe, that close group.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, what's up with you? You know,
a great example of that. So, like, you know, I do my Monday, like, motivation to my friends and just send them kind of just, like, fruit for thought for the week and stuff like that to, again, just, like,
wish. I love that. Can I get in on that?
Absolutely.
Can I get in on that text thread?
1,000%. But then on Fridays, I do, like, just a Friday, like, you know, funny snap. Mm-hmm. And every Friday, I'm like, happy fucking Friday. And, like, so there was, like, one time, though, like, I just had, like, a really terrible week. And I didn't do the Friday, like, snap. And, like, by 3 o'clock, I had people be like, are you alive? Like,
oh, my God, I love
But, again,
that.
Because, like, I've been so consistent with it.
Accountability, man.
They were just like, hey, man, like, what's
checking
up?
Checking in.
So, like, to provide or, you know, to show proof to that, 1,000%.
Yeah. I've been on the receiving end of that. And in most cases, you feel a part of. You feel loved by other people. And it's a great feeling.
It really is.
It's, like, a humbling, like, fuck, I got to talk about it. But like,
right, you have to like bring it to the light,
and then you do, and then
it's
in time,
so much
it
better.
Sucks at first, but it always feels better.
But I think friends appreciate that too, because there'll be times where, like, you call me, like, you're doing your thing, and they're like, and you're like, don't make me come over there, like, but I like, again, like, I'm that type of friend where it's like, don't bullshit me, like, let's go, like, if you talk about it, but again, same sentence, it's like, hold me to that, you know, standard, or if I say I'm going to do something. And I try not to, like, if I'm working on something big or trying to do stuff, I like to, again, like, you know, work in the night and do it. So then when you achieve it, people are like, oh, you were doing this thing? You're like, yeah. Because again, I don't like to say stuff and then it falls apart. I'm not a big fan of that. So, but again, sometimes when you're trying to work on something and you do vocalize it, people are like, oh, I can help you with that. So there is pros and like help, you know, when you do vocalize stuff like that. Yeah. But again, for me, like, I really enjoy it. I think a lot of people feel the same way where it's like you work and grind, or, you know, when you go on a weight journey and you go to the gym and then you see somebody that you haven't seen in a year and they're like, you look terrific. You're like, fuck yeah, I do. But like, again, it just like certifies like all the hard work that you put into dieting and everything to do that. And you're just like, this is great. So again, I just try to be that for, again,
it's also an important lesson, like, to trust people who are trustworthy and to be vulnerable with people who are safe to be vulnerable with. Like,
that's something I struggle with too. But
me
too.
No, me too. I be airing all my laundry all the time, and then I'm like, why did I do that? You know, like
I'm not.
Somebody help me.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you a question. So, like, I'm assuming a lot of our listeners are male. I don't know, but
85%.
Exactly.
I knew it.
83%.
I knew it. Which is great. I love that. But we talk a lot about mental health, and you said you went to therapy later. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to you about what that whole process was like, just because I think it's still kind of a taboo thing for men to, like, go sit and talk to a therapist, which blows my mind, because, like, I would be insane if I didn't have...
Well, that, but
it's society.
Well, that, but yeah. I think too, again, like, for your guy friends, like, your guy friends are your therapy. So it's like,
I'm good.
I vent to Josh. Josh vents to me, or I vent to my other buddies. Like, that is my therapy. But again,
it's a different kind.
It is, because again, having someone who's unbiased and not just being like, you know, telling you things in the sense to just like make you feel better.
Yeah.
Being like, if you are messed up, or
giving
you're
you tools.
That, or again, just being honest with you. Be like, hey, like, what you did was not right. And again, then you're like, okay. So. No, I
what was it like the first time you went to therapy? What made you go to therapy? Your friends?
Yeah.
What happened?
I was drinking too much. Like, just got out of, like, college, or I was still in college and, like, still living, like, that Navy lifestyle.
You went to college after you were in the Navy?
I did.
Okay. So just give us the timeline there. So you went into the Navy in 2011. You did 6 years. So what is that, 2017?
I got in 2018.
Okay, 2018.
May of 18. Did an amazing road trip from Seattle, Washington, all the way back down to Dallas with two of my buddies that I worked with and, like, served with. So, like, that was really cool. And then, yeah, I went to University of North Texas from 2018.
What's the mascot?
It's an eagle.
Oh.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, that's what
I didn't know what that was.
Yeah. I have Tourette's. I'm just kidding.
So
they graduated college in 2020, and then, as we all know, 2020 was just like...
You graduated in 2 years?
Well, so I did college, like, on my shore duty.
Okay.
So I basically got up to an associate's, because, again, I was just taking, like, online classes, because at shore duty in the Navy...
You were hustling, baby.
Good for you, man.
I appreciate it.
What was Josh doing during this time?
Yeah.
he was at dive school, so, like, were in Seattle at the same time, too. So we have, like, it's so crazy, we have, like, Guam stories, San Diego stories, and then, like, Seattle stories. Like, we have some of the best
stories. He was making out with Dylan.
Not that I saw.
Haven't met Dylan yet. Don't know Dylan.
We'll bring him in.
Dylan's
now.
A good
sure.
one, too. So then, yeah, graduated in 2020, and then was, like, again, just trying to, like, find work and stuff, but then, like, partying and just doing stuff, and that's when my friends were like, hey, we think you need to, you know, kind of slow it down. And then my friends were like, and also, like, we think you should probably, because, again, just, like, that unresolved. So it was just kind of, like, a mixture of all that. So then, again, just, like, instead of being like, no, I'm fine, like, being like, okay, like, I'm going to take your recommendation and I'm gonna look it up. Again, it was provided by the VA. So, you know, it was free in a sense. So it didn't cost me anything. So I was like, it would only benefit me.
Right. It's not going to hurt.
No. And so, you know, obviously that first one, like, telling the story and, again, being vulnerable in somebody that's not going to judge you. And again, as a man, that's something I feel like that we all judge. Because if you see, like, you know, someone crying, you're like, So.
I love when I see a man crying.
Do you?
That's a green flag.
I cry all the time, baby.
That is a green flag.
Yeah, Kevin cries in The Notebook.
I used to keep The Notebook in the back of my truck when I was younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for all the babes. We used to
do
a little date.
Oh, my God.
Like, you want to watch The Notebook? I got it right here.
What? So, for me, one movie that I always tear up in.
Shameless.
It worked.
Shameless.
But it's true. It was.
Listen.
Come on, that's not genius.
Panty dropper. Genius.
It always makes a thud, yeah. For me, one movie that always makes me tear up, though, is Click with Adam Sandler. Because, again, right, he's fast forward. So, again, like, oh, yeah, the end, right?
Sad,
so every time, though, because, again, just, like, makes you, again, it takes you back to, like, really just focus on, like, utilizing your time. Because, you know, right time is something you spend, but you can never get back type thing. And when there's so many cliches or so many quotes, but again, like, just try to embody that just a little bit. For me, like, it does, again, just kind of, like, change that, you know, perspective in your life. And all of a sudden, you're just like, even if things are absolutely just a dumpster fire, like, things are okay. Like, because you have something to look forward to. Again, like I said, I just have always something to look forward to, I guess, because, again, I do have just, like, a very, like, great group of friends from, like, the Navy, college, high school friends, and just, you know, all, you know, throughout the country and everything. So, like, for me, I've just been very, you know, blessed in that opportunity just to have people to look forward to and, you know, to have that.
So, like, for me, when my dad died, it is a huge milestone in, like, my life changed forever. And you talked about how you could either turn away from your faith or turn into it. It's a pivotal moment.
100%.
And you said that you chose to turn in to your faith. Do you, like, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but what made you choose that path? Because a lot of people don't. Like, my sister didn't, you know, and I did. Like, it's yeah.
I think, again, great question. I think for me, again, it was just, like, having that faith and just, like, something about it where you're just like, I believe, and just, like, I know. And so for me, as I've gotten older, too, I'm trying to be, like, a better Catholic, but also just, like, you know, be a better Christian, you know, lean into it and, you know, pray more and do, like, more readings and stuff like that. So I could really, again, just, like, educate myself because, again, right, we do, you know, people, you know, question and, you know, try to cut you down and stuff like that. So just being strong. But for whatever reason, I just think, like, in my heart, I was just like, this is the right thing to do. So I guess it's in a sense, it's kind of hard to, I guess, explain why. But again, right, like, for me, it's not like, you know, faith is faith, but, like, faith is a word because it is something where, like, if you, like, how do you know you're going to make it? You're like, I had faith. Like, how did you know that, you know, so-and-so is going to show up? I had faith. Like, if you just have that, like, uncontrollable amount of faith, like, it may take a day.
Uncontrollable amount of faith.
I just, right, like, it, like you said, God will show up. Now, when he does, in a sense, you know, when provides, like, that is the question mark, again, because that is what makes you have the faith, though. Because, again, if you knew when you're going to get something, I always joke, I'm like, would you want to know when you die? Right? Some people are like, no, I don't want to know. I was like, oh, I do. Because then again, now I know how much time I have. But again, people are like, no, I don't want to know. Which again is fine. But again, now that's what gives life its mystery because you don't know how much time you have. So again, each day that you have, go out there and just try to do the absolute best you can. You know, if make somebody's day by smiling at them or helping a friend or, you know, being there with your partner, raising your kids, you know, whatever it is, like, just finding each day to try to do that. So again, that way you leave that mark.
If you had 3 months to live, what would you do?
I had 3 months to live, what would I do? Man, I would travel a lot, obviously. And honestly, I would just try to go see all my friends and just friends and family and create just one last memory. I think, you know, in that sense. Obviously, going to Vegas, 1,000 on black, baby. Because debt doesn't follow you when you're dead.
Kayla, can I borrow $100,000? Kind of.
That was something. So after my dad died, when, you know, they give you, you know, the death certificate and all that. So I was obviously his next of kin. But my aunt, she was, you know, very, like, helpful throughout that process. But she basically made copies of, you know, the death certificate and all that, but then whited out my name and then sent that to, like, all the debt collectors. Basically, like, oh, this person died. So I never got any calls or anything about calling to collect money. So, yeah, my aunt was a superstar in that regard.
God. So, that's amazing. Shout out. What's your aunt's name?
Laura.
Laura. Shout out Laura. Aunt Laura.
Hell yeah. That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
That is so
smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Oh, give her
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold on. Let's go. Laura.
Oh, shit. That thing made me lose my track of thought. What was I? We were talking about. Oh, so you talk. I'm a firm believer that faith without works is dead. And you've been talking a lot about, like, these things that you do. You pray a lot. So when you, I'm just going to call it a rock bottom because that's kind of a word that we've been using a lot that our listeners probably understand at this point. So when that rock bottom hit and you chose to turn into your faith and turn into God, what did you do to grow and deepen your relationship with with God and like feel comforted. Like he's the comforter, you know, he's.
I just asked for, I guess, again, just like strength a lot. Mm. And then again, just. And
he provided friends.
And just, 100%. Yeah. And really just, again, you know, just asking God to obviously, like, you know, have mercy on my father's soul and hoping that he's, you know, not any more pain, is in a better place. And again, you know, hoping for all that. But I think that's just been the biggest thing. And then, again, just, you know, people that either have gone through it, you know, just getting advice from them or again, just, you know, older, wiser people just like, you know, that are very, you know, Christian based and have that, you know, same belief. They're just like, you know, you have to do this. Again, it's your own journey and it's, you know, your relationship with God. It's not mine. It's not yours. You know, it's, you know, in the sense yours. So, just, you know, again, trying to communicate. But again, I just think over the years too, like still just trying to like get better at praying. I don't feel like you can ever say like the perfect prayer. There are a lot of times like, well, I'll be like literally falling asleep, like trying to pray. And I'm pretty sure I fall asleep before I finish like the prayer, which I'm just like, sorry, God. Like,
no, that's good though. That's like I think that's the goal. Like,
well, it doesn't take me long to fall asleep either. I could like get horizontal and you could like get a stopwatch. Like, oh, he's done. So, which in some ways is like
a blessing.
Right. Some people are like, I just lay there for hours. I'm like, not me. I'm done.
That's awesome.
When your father passed, was there any sense of resentment towards him?
I always told when I was younger, I would be like, if I ever saw my dad again, I'd punch him in his face, but then give him like the biggest hug and tell him how much I missed him. But it'd be like, you asshole. I think now, not more so like, you know, I guess resentment, I would just be like, I've missed you. Like, I can't imagine like going through like my naval career in college and just like, you know, the stories that I'd be able to share with him. Because my dad was like the funniest guy. Like, that dude was just so, he just, you know, had a way with people and it was just so funny. And again, we had just, you know, had our own humor. So I just feel like, unfortunately for him, like he missed out on so much, you know, opportunities and things that we could have, you know, bonded over and shared. So it was just
compassion.
Yeah, that, right. And I think, you know, obviously that takes time to, you know, learn and build compassion and empathy, right? Because you're so quick to, and again, in society, when someone's like going through a hard time, you're like, hey, stop being a baby. Like, do your job.
Suck it up.
Mm-hmm. But in a sense, like, sometimes you're like, okay, like, that's not always the answer. So for me, trying to be more like empathetic, a better listener, again, especially for like a partner, that's always something that kills me when the girls are like, I just want you to listen. I'm like, I'm a guy. I listen to make solutions. So that is something
Fixers.
That tried to be, right? So that's one thing I'm like, okay, I'm going to do my absolute best to sit here and listen and just, you know, be that for you. So again, because when I was younger in college, I was not very good at that.
I mean, it's also how you were raised, right? Like, you grew up in a family that was divorced and you were at a very young age put in this place of like, I have to be the go-between. I am an adult and I am the fixer and I have to mediate and I have to make sure the waters stay calm.
I think that might be why I'm so, it's like, in a sense, a great communicator.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that I do very well. But again, for some people that, you know, don't respond or they're like, oh, I didn't see it. I'm like, how do you not see the text? Or like we have 17,000 ways to, you know, socialize now and stay connected, which again is a blessing because there's no way I've been able to keep in contact with like all of our Navy friends that we do have.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a positive of like the social media.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, it's not hard to just, you know, send a text or, you know, to communicate. But I think, you know, communicating in between my parents and then, you know, when I was gonna see my dad, not see my dad and stuff like that. I think that definitely probably started there. I guess I never really thought about it in that way, but I think you make a great point on that.
Oh, I'm big on going back to the childhood and finding out what made us who we are.
No, 100%.
I'm very big on this.
But it is like who we become and like right, plays a huge, huge part. So obviously there's some people that break the mold and they came from nothing and they, you know, become an amazing human being even after having traumatic, you know, events. And then there's also people who are like their parents were amazing and then they're POSs. So like you get both sides.
So after 6 years in the Navy, serving the country, serving our country so that we can, we're safe here and, you know, we're limited from threats internationally.
That blanket of freedom, baby.
Right. So do you think that the VA/government should be doing more for the soldiers?
I mean, they can always do more. But I mean, it's tough because, again, like it's so complex. It's not just like one thing. But I always tell people, too, because, you know, some people are like, we should all have free health care. I'm like, the government can't even take care of 3% of the population, which is its, you know, veterans. The VA overall, again, is just, it's not what it can or should be. So that's always, I'm like, be careful what you wish for, because again, the government is not the answer. I'm happy that I served and, you know, did my part, but again, obviously I'm definitely one of those where I'm like, I don't like big government. So again, that's a whole rabbit hole for another time. But I definitely
Do we talk about politics on this podcast?
Yeah, we talk about everything.
I think again, you know, the government should, you know, make sure, not that, you know, they put them above, you know, just an average American citizen. Obviously, an American citizen is, you know, an American citizen.
No, fuck that. I'll say it. Like, you served our country. You're literally protecting our basic human rights.
Well, and I appreciate you.
The right for us to live the way we live. Yeah, you should be put a little bit higher.
I guess that's
pedestal.
Just like, that's the humbleness, I guess.
But
again, I learned that from some really great, like, friends of mine, but, you know, guys that are still in that, are out there, you know, fighting the good fight, and they're just incredibly humble. But they taught me that, because again, too, I was kind of saying, when you're younger, you're like, we're the shit, and it's like, you know, calm down, like, you're doing a job to, you know, provide a service for others that may not be able to, because again, not everybody has the qualifications, you know, to serve. So to have the opportunity, one, is a blessing, but two, to be able to do it, you know, it is something great, and again, to do it well, and again, honorably, I mean, that's something we all strive to do. So
would you do it all over again?
Yeah, I always tell people I wouldn't go back to a submarine, but like, if you ask me, like, would you do it like all the same way? 1,000%. Like,
yeah.
Because again, like, all the things that, like, I couldn't imagine, like, what my life would be like if I didn't do it. And like, again, the friendships and, you know, the opportunities of the places that I went to and the things that I learned and
life lessons.
I just, you know, I wouldn't in that sense trade it, because it helped make who I am today. So,
yeah. What's the biggest life lesson you've learned?
Biggest life lesson that
you're
I've
what,
learned?
33?
31.
31?
Such a baby.
Your sheet was wrong. All right. What's the biggest life lesson you learned?
Easy. All right. So I send her one sheet on our guests.
Sorry.
Like, someone prepares a one sheet. Yeah, that person is me.
I have such a good... Wait. For Kevin. He does all of this.
Yeah.
Literally, all I do is show up.
He is our best personal assistant.
No, he is the best business partner and podcast partner. He's like... Let's give Kevin his flowers, because this thing would not be exist if it weren't for him.
Up top, baby.
I'll request the highest.
He's the man.
Thank you.
Okay, I did not mean you looked 33. I just thought I misread.
Thank you.
Maybe I misread.
No,
so
you're
31.
She said you look old as fuck.
Yeah. I am white, so.
The suit and tie. I was like, he's a professional. He's definitely.
The way he ties his tie.
32 plus.
Yeah.
What's the biggest?
So wait. He had a t-shirt. So Josh, episode 2 guest, was arrested, as he shared.
Boy.
And he had a t-shirt made up of Josh's mugshot.
Yeah. Pull it up, Josh.
It's pretty fantastic.
Pretty hilarious.
Josh is going to be our searcher. Josh, bring that up.
You're a social media guy.
Can you look up Josh Norton? Can you Google that name and pull up the... the mugshot?
I think
you look good in your mugshot, dude. You should make
not
that
many
your
people can pull off a mugshot.
Yeah, you look great in your mugshot.
You do look good in your mugshot.
I was like, what you gotta do is you gotta go to jail, you gotta get on a podcast, and then you gotta sell merch.
Oh, there you go.
It's the American way. It is capitalism at its finest.
Isn't it sad?
Here we go. Oh.
And our friend made coffee mugs too.
Me with my mugshot shirt.
Here, put it on that camera.
My. Can we?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we?
Not Zoom. You got to go closer to it.
Oh, okay.
Give it to me.
I got it.
Go ahead, Mama. I got this. You see the camera to your left?
So, yeah, we took that last night. There you go.
Yeah, whatever. It's all good.
There it is. Nice.
Norton, my ninja Norton.
Oh, you can make it a sticker.
Free this man.
Amazing. But anyway, so that is the loyalty, the friendship. I love it.
I guess so. To answer your question, the biggest life lesson.
Life lessons.
I got
Let's
you.
Get back. Let's reel it
I guess voice. The biggest life lesson, which again goes, you know, with your podcast, but again, it would just be adversity, in the sense of understanding that again, like, you may get dealt a, you know, shitty hand, or you know things may not go your way. Just like being positive and just like, you know, speaking like good thoughts out there, which is funny because I'm like so just like incredibly like hard on myself. I do something, I'm like, great job, Heath, you idiot. So trying to be more, you know, self positive. But I think that's honestly for me so far, like the biggest life lesson and the thing that I carry is just like, yeah, right, being positive and just like when, you know, and again for your friends, like we're going to find a way. And then when you do and you're like we did it, you did it, you know, things like that. So I would say that's been it for me so far.
What characteristics or, you know, lessons have you learned or tools that you apply to that enables you to face adversity and take adversity on?
Oh man.
Awareness. Have you been able to, like,
I think again, just like positive thoughts in that sense, or just knowing like
self-esteemable acts.
Well, that, and just like believing in yourself and just being like, okay, if it's, you know, a goal that you set out, or, you know, if it's a fitness one, a financial one, an educational one, something like that. And right.
Consistency.
Like, well, consistency and, four C's. Three C's, you know, consistency, communication, and commitment.
Mm. What were the other C's you were talking about?
Oh, no, that's a...
Bro, let it air out. Kayla wants to know. Now.
Oh,
she's curious.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to say it. Don't want to say it.
It's too late.
You can, like, spell it out a little
there's
bit.
There's a person out there that's going to absolutely hate this, and I love... It's my mom. She's going to hate this. But I always... So, a friend from college, she told me one time, because we were talking about, like, relationships.
She told you?
No. My friend told me the three C's to a good relationship is consistency, commitment, and consistency, commitment.
Communication.
And communication. Thank you. And so then I looked at her and I was like, there's a four C, and she's like, what is that? I was like, you got to give your, you know, your partner, your wife, you got to give her the goods. I was like, you do those four things. I was like, 9 out of 10 women are going to be happy. I'm like a dentist, you know, like 4 out of 5 dentists recommend. So...
Oh,
my mom's going to hate.
Can't
sorry,
disagree.
Mom.
No, it's okay.
I mean, it's a solid plan. No.
Well, Kayla's agreeing with you.
Yeah.
So you got.
There you go.
There you go. For all the women out there, like, we know what you want.
Oh, God.
Okay,
all right.
I did not say that.
Too far.
I did not say that.
Too far.
Are you single, Heath?
Yeah. That's why. That's why. Yeah.
Ladies, who's
I'm
single?
I'm on that boat
seat. Oh, my God.
Get on the boat seat.
Oh, my God. My grandma watches this.
Oh my God!
That's what
Grandma,
I was like.
We're joking,
Mimi.
Oh,
no, it's fine.
Mimi,
it's fine. Shit's good.
Oh, yeah, Mimi. But that's just again like a running joke that we have. But
no,
again,
I love it.
It's important again just to try to be the best version of yourself.
Mm.
Can we give a shout out to your mom? I like your mom.
My mom loves you.
She listens to our podcast.
That's awesome.
She listens.
My mom's gonna listen to this podcast.
My whole family listens.
Her mom's badass.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She's with the kiddos right now.
Sorry.
No, yeah. Great shout out.
So you're talking a lot about positivity and like I spend a lot of time doing mental reps, you know, like visualizing and positive affirmations and like remembering who I am and it because there's always going to be negative thoughts and doubt and fear, you know, fear like it's a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that, as I got older, changed for me with the positivity and the self-talk and the visualization, I had to kind of ask myself this question. And this is going to sound like it's going to be very abrupt. But do you love yourself?
I think so. I think that's something that I struggle with in that sense is... like I said, loving myself, I guess, more.
Mm-hmm.
Or again, just being kinder to myself. Because you always are like, I'm the greatest person I know. Because I'm definitely a very confident person. My friends will tell you that. But again, in those moments, like, right, being like, if you know, don't hit a goal or you fall back, don't be like, this is the end of the world now. Like, you know, we're terrible and like, time to cut the cord. It's like, all right, there's either a different alternative route. You know, we're going to be delayed gratification is obviously like a big thing. But that is something that I continue to work on is like having like that self-love because, again, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to expect someone to love you?
Right.
So.
And how are you going to love someone? Too,
well, and that
right?
too,
like,
exactly.
You can't love someone else until you love yourself truly.
I feel like I love people. But no, I agree. I agree with you 100% because, and again, I just think for a lot of people that's something that they negate because again they're taking care of their kids or they're taking care of their spouse. They're loving so many other people are trying to that they don't love themselves.
Yep.
So and then there are some people who only love themselves. So
Yeah.
I feel like it's, listen, it's okay to not fully love yourself. I mean, I'll get vulnerable and say there are certain aspects mm-hmm. of my life, my past, or even qualities about myself that I don't love. But we do talk about this a lot. It's taking the action and shift that dial we talk about just a couple degrees. And over time, the trajectory becomes greater and greater. And then you make all of this progress and you change as a person. And I feel like, and I'm cheating a little bit because I know you outside of the podcast and I watch you. And something we wanted to really focus on while doing this podcast is the solution. And you do constantly take these little actions. You know, you were talking about the texts you send out on Mondays, on Fridays. You call me frequently. You check in with me. But also, too, I think the new career, and I'd love for you to go into just your new career venture that you, you know, have embarked on in the last 6 months or so. And it's all about helping other people. So, I mean, if you want to go into that just a little bit, like self-esteemable is not even
right.
a word, by
when
the way.
You
but
do
self-esteemable
things,
acts.
Right. When you... It is also love is one of those things where, like, the more you give it away, the more you keep it. And I think that, like,
100%.
Also, you remembering and, like, using your faith to realize, like, dude, you don't ever have to do anything again. You don't have to achieve another goal. You don't have to make another dollar. You don't have to save another person. You don't have to do shit for the rest of your life. You are a worthy child of God with inherent worth and value, you know? And, like, when you sit in that and you can, like, really remember that, then you begin to embody it and then you begin to share it. And that's where I think the real, like, love comes in, you know, real power comes in.
Yeah.
But what is your new career? I want to hear about this. Tell me.
I'm currently in the Fire Academy in Jacksonville.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. So, yeah, we started last May with like EMT school. And then in January, we started Fire Academy. So it's a 6 month program.
Yeah.
So we're currently on that. So again, I'm hopeful to, again, make it through the end and then get hired on a department here in Florida. And then, again, just, you know, obviously learning new skills. And, again, like, the camaraderie and being around, like, the guys, like, it feels
another
so...
Another brotherhood,
exactly,
yeah.
100%. And, again, like, you know, them having my back, me having theirs. And then, again, right, to be able to, like, help other people. Again, it's just for me, I've obviously prayed on, like, how I can, you know, help others. And I feel like, you know, the Lord has guided me to this. And it's obviously been, you know, super, you know, difficult. EMT was like the hardest class I've ever.
You just passed that.
I did.
So you got it's the first phase of becoming a
fireman. So I passed the program and
did you take the test? Fun fact, I actually took the firefighter exam.
Oh, did you?
In Mass, and if I didn't win a gold medal, I was going to be a firefighter.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Well, I'm trying to be like you.
Save me.
I'm trying to be like you. That's awesome.
So I did pass the national EMT, so I got like my certification. But again, I had to take that 3 times cuz again, it was not an easy test.
Yeah. No, it's a lot.
But again, like, persevered, and again, the Lord just he answered my prayers in that one. And so again, currently just in firefighting school and just taking it one day at a time. Again, making you know, great friends and connections, and again, hoping to, you know, have the opportunity to, you know, get out there on a station and
walk in the path,
be in the community, and again, be a positive light.
What made you decide on that? What called you to that,
man? You know, I
what were you doing before?
I do personal training.
Okay.
You know, trying to, again, just, you know, help people where, you know.
He wore a suit. I can't see the guns.
Yo, he was jacked for a minute. You're still jacked.
He's
but you
still
were jacked.
What
you
are you
were...
talking about? I felt the handshake. I know.
You
There's
were...
power in those hands.
I appreciate you.
We played golf. You were looking.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, your game sucked.
Oh,
but you were
terrible. But yeah. Smashing balls, just not down the fairway.
Dang.
Dude.
Yeah.
You lost it.
I know.
It was
great.
It was amazing.
Terrible.
But I just, again, I think just praying and asking to, you know, be of service, and then this opportunity just kind of presented itself. But again, just like trying to, you know, get into a career, the retirement, things like that. It kind of just like led.
No, great benefits.
Yeah,
great,
led to that.
Great
so,
job.
And again, like the skill sets you learn and everything, again, just having that to know, and again, to help others, again, I think it's just what led me to that. So again, having the opportunity to do it, it's been great. And again, I hope I'm successful to finish out.
You will be.
I appreciate you.
I have a question.
Everybody loves firefighters, by the way. Not everybody loves cops.
I can
but
grow,
everybody loves
I
a
can
firefighter.
Grow a great
Ladies love firefighters.
I can grow a great mustache too, so I think that was part of it. Like when God, you know.
You got like the full.
Well, because I can't grow a beard or anything, but like the mustache is like.
Strong.
Strong. So yeah, it could put out a fire.
Wait, do you think. it could put out a fire. Wait, Kayla, so if you became a firefighter, let's say you weren't a fighter.
I was engaged to a firefighter.
So you guys would have been firefighters together?
I guess.
Oh, so cool. do you think you can carry me out of a building?
100% she can.
I did, yeah. I had to do the test.
You can carry me out of a building.
The only one who got higher on the test was my ex.
Really?
Yeah, was I could carry you out of
a
building.
Was he a big mama?
Yeah, he was like 6'3", 220.
Oh.
It doesn't count. I did the whole thing. I like put the poker in the roof and
I would
carried
love
the
for
bag
you to carry me out of a building. Burning fire.
I mean,
that's why we stay fit.
I really hope it never happens.
Sniff the hair the whole time. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Everyone, Kevin,
that's
always
a great
gives
shampoo
me a
you
giant
have there,
I always give her a hug
and
sniff
like,
her hair.
Sniffs my hair for a solid
Kayla's
7 seconds.
Kayla's hair smells so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of I'm like blushing. Pert Plus and like pheromones. It's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Okay.
Yeah, good
so
pheromones.
Well, I know you guys have a whole like, you got to wash your hair on like the seventh day. You know, or I don't know.
I mean, I train 3 times a day. Well, twice a day and then cardio every day. So I'm like, I'm real ragged. But Wednesdays, I wash my hair for y'all.
Solid.
For the boys.
She knows a big sniff is coming.
Yeah, I know a big sniff is coming. So I wash my hair. Other days, you know, for the guys at the gym, fuck them. But for you guys, I wash my hair.
Love it. Let's go. You're there for you. You're not there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be me without them. So.
Oh, there you go.
I should probably wash my hair, but. It's not good for your hair.
So
that's why I hear.
Oh my god!
Well, we should ask Kevin. Look at that
right? Flowing,
luscious locks.
Let's go.
My mama Lanning gave me these. She passed them along. My mom's got great hair.
Does she?
My dad still has a full head of hair.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Good
going
genes.
Strong.
My dad doesn't.
That is so fucked up,
bro.
Just kidding.
No.
Never too soon.
No, dude. You're like you can joke on that. I mean.
Hey, whatever gets
the dark humor, man.
No, it's you have to.
That's
have
your
it.
Personality, though.
It, like I'm telling you, like it is. So, like that's what, like for me, like it's like a hard line to walk. Is like again, like Christian values, trying to be that, but then like obviously, like part of my brain, the way I think and the things I say, they're like again, my family's always like, hey, Heath, like tone it down, and they're not wrong. But then I'm like, kind of like this is who I am.
Yeah.
So again, like I can always evolve and be better. But I'm like, I feel like people appreciate sometimes like that banter.
Be real.
Be real,
dude,
but
be authentic. No, I did the same thing where like, especially becoming a mother and like,
I can only imagine.
I'm very involved in my church, and I always felt so like I stood out, like I'm the only single parent in the whole church, and like I say fuck, and you know I'm a fighter. Like I'm not, have a very.
You
I'm
are
not
the black sheep.
I am the black sheep. I'm not a Mr. Rogers sweater wearing, you know, but like. And I felt like I needed to change that. But I think by being authentic and being real, I reach more people. Because
100%.
That's what I want to do ultimately, right? I want to be.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic. And again, that's kind of how I think on that too. I love that. I am a child of God.
Child of God.
We all are.
Remembering. It's a mirror.
Like
too,
I said, trying to walk the walk.
Do you
want to
look
it's
into
an impossible
it and
task.
It's a mirror. There you go.
So
you are a child of God.
That way you can look to see how great you are every day.
No, look and see that I'm a child of God.
So someone who, for our listeners, is maybe experiencing a close family member who passed away, whether it's from suicide, whether it's from cancer, whether anything. And just facing that adversity, someone who is in the thick of things right now, what advice would you have for that person?
Again, don't do it alone. Lean on people. Again, for me, I leaned on my faith. Again, if you have faith, I recommend doing that. If you don't, I mean, again, that's, again, your personal journey. But having, that support group and friends and family who will be there for you. And again, just, look for the, if it's already happened and the ripple effect is, taking, it's obviously it impacts a lot of people. So again, just, taking it day by day and just trying to find ways to, not blame yourself, things like that. And just, trying to stay positive. Mm-hmm. If you're in a situation where someone has been talking about it or, you kind of see it again, either, reach out for them and get the help that they may refuse to do because they're being prideful and things like that. And just try to step up. But then at the end of the day, right, like it is the person's ultimate action. And that's why I think suicide is so hurtful, because it's the last thing that they did, and, they were so hurt that they feel that, everybody will be better off because I'm not here. And it's just not the case.
It's not
because,
true.
Right, yeah. So I think just, you know, trying to, on the flip side, just be like, you know, it wasn't your fault that they did that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't hold it like, I could have did more. Because, again, like, you know, you'll beat yourself down and kick yourself down. And I would just recommend not doing that. So, and again, if you're not a part of a group, try to get a part of a group and just, you know, connect. And because, you know, we're humans, we seek, you know, connections. And I understand mm-hmm. some people are more introverts than extroverts. And so, again, just trying to find your niche and find things that, you know, give you purpose, you know, make you feel full. I think those are big driving forces. So even when, you know, the hurricane comes and it rips your house off the foundation, if you have a strong enough foundation, you can rebuild the house.
Amen.
So I think that's just what I would try to, you know, tell people.
Do you think a lot of that comes from some of the acts and, you know, the actions that you take on a daily basis to help you feel of some worth?
Absolutely. So I remember one time my mom sent me like a video, and it was like a Catholic priest like talking online suicide. And again, I guess like how the church is, you know, taking a slightly different stance, because, you know, before it was like you're going straight to jail, straight to hell when you commit suicide, right? So them being like, again, showing like more compassion and stuff. But the priest was talking about how a guy in San Francisco, he ultimately, you know, committed suicide by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. But he wrote in his suicide, he's like, I'm going to walk there. If one person smiles at me, I won't do it. So again, by something just as simple as, you know, acknowledging somebody, smiling at them, and, you know, being a positive impact could ultimately, like, be a deal breaker for them. You don't know that. But, you know, they could be, like, on their way, like, I'm going to go kill myself. And you're like, hey, man, I hope you have a great day. And they're like, I'm not going to do it anymore. And just, like,
dude,
you know.
I just got chills.
Just seeing, like, one more day. And, again, for us, like, in, like, you know, laughter and comedy, like, that's, again, our our vice and how we kind of, like, deal with that. But, like, being able to laugh at it or, again, you know, make the jokes and stuff like that. Again, probably not the best coping mechanism, but that's just how, for myself, that's how I do it. But I know, like, when people are laughing, they're not thinking about pain or, you know, depression and things like that. They're in a better state of mind. So, again, trying to be, a, you know, a comedic relief and be that for someone. And obviously, some people are like, your jokes aren't funny. You're like, okay. But then for some people, they're like, I really needed that today, and I love you that. So, again, you can't, you know, please everyone. But, again, if you can just save one.
Dude, I have to tell you. So, I have, like, a traumatic past. I was sexually abused by my first coach, and
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And on, so I moved, like, right after I told my mom what happened, she packed up a U-Haul. I moved to Boston. She was dropping me off. I was gonna live there and train for the Olympics. And I but like, to say I was struggling is like an understatement. And I was suicidal. You know, I thought about ending my life all the time, and I'll never forget. We were driving to Boston. We stopped at a gas station, and I had just had, like, a really bad flashback, and I was, like, sweating, and I got out of the car to go to the bathroom, and, like, I was, like, so just, like, out of sorts. Like, I wanted to die. I just remember feeling completely hopeless and, like, I wanted to die, and I was, like, looking down, and I'll never forget this for as long as I live. I opened the door and someone pushed it open for me, and I looked up, and this person smiled at me and was like, here you go ahead. And dude, that was it. It was like this person smiled at me and said, go ahead. And I was like, oh, like,
so simple.
Someone can see me. Like, I exist. It's not just everything that's happening in my life. Like, my world was totally falling apart, and, like, I felt like I was never going to be happy again, but that person saw me, and that changed. I do believe that those little tiny moments can change the trajectory of someone's life, and so I want to tell you that you, sir, are doing God's work, and you are an amazing human being.
Well, I appreciate that.
And, like, I have no doubt that you have impacted and changed a lot of people's lives and a lot of people's trajectories. And
one,
I hope you remember that, and I hope you love on yourself, because
I appreciate you on that. I definitely try to do my best on
that's awesome.
So
what an amazing human. Ugh, I'm so glad you brought him.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy to be here again. Thanks for the opportunity again.
Thank you for sharing your story. I know it's not easy.
Oh, for sure. Well, I just, again, think, like, when you have stuff like this, it's like not your duty, but you're just like, okay, like, you know, we're going to...
You could use it or you could, yeah.
It's almost a sense where I would like, the only difference between a hero and a villain is, you know, the hero, after they had something bad happen to them, they're like, I'm going to do my best to never have this happen to somebody else. Vice the villain's like, this bad thing happened to me, so I'm going to treat everybody terrible because the world or this and that. So that's the only difference. They both, you know, went through something. It's just how you respond.
Yep.
So.
I love it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you
guys.
All right.